Hey everyone, Pastor Tim here. I pray that this sermon, this resource, will be used by God to grow you and help you flourish in His grace and sanctify you in your faith. This resource is not intended to and will never replace the benefits of being part of a church family. So if you're local, we would love to have you join us here on Sunday mornings. If you're not close, we encourage you to find a church home in your area. Again, we pray that this blesses you and grows you in your love for Jesus and sharing that love with others.
Well, good morning. I'm John Adams, Pastor Emeritus, and it's an honor to preach God's Word today to you and with you. And today we're going to be talking really about the topic of transformation. How many of you, you know, you'd kind of like a transformation? I know I would in my life. I want to continually just be changed. And so we're going to look at that today from the book of Romans. And we've been in the book of Romans for a minute, right? Since 2023, our pastors have been preaching about 3 to 4 chapters each January. And we're back in it again and going through it. And we've come to today to Romans chapter 12, and it's really a pivotal, crucial, kind of hinge set of verses here today. Just to remind you that if you may or may not been in our study here, that Romans, the first 11 chapters, really Paul, the Apostle Paul, teaches us about the good news of Christ, the gospel, and Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, and how that applies in dealing with our sin and the power of it, and really working in our life the righteousness of God. And then we come to Romans 12 through 16, the second part of Romans, and we see how it unpacks how the gospel will transform our lives as we submit to Him and surrender to His great love. So these two sections are interestingly enough joined together by a single word. It is this curious word, therefore. And the therefore of in verse 1 is the hinge, really, in the book of Romans. And what Paul says here, when he says therefore, he's saying, considering all that I've taught you about the gospel. I mean, there's been many things we've been learning. Now I want to teach you how this gospel will transform your life. For the next 5 chapters, Paul teaches us what gospel transformation is all about. So we want to look at this great passage, and we could study it really word by word, but we got about 30 minutes. So Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, and it says this: I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by the testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Verse 1, Paul begins right there. He says, look, I come here and I appeal to you, brothers. He's writing to the church, to brothers and sisters in that church and to our church. So he's writing particularly to believers here. And he's saying, I appeal to you, which means, look, I'm pleading with you. I'm begging you today to listen of how much you need the mercies of God. Stop trying to do it on your own in your life. Trust God and His work, His mercies, and you will be transformed. Pastor Tim reminded us last week that in the first 11 chapters of Romans, we've been looking at like big topics: justification and sanctification and the law of God and sin and how we become new in Christ and just all of these things. And they've been wonderful. And now we're turning and seeing that God alone can transform you. pause and stop and say, I want to stop here right now and say, stop trusting my own efforts and start trusting the mercies of God. And so today, in particular, we're going to look at two ways to rely on the gospel to transform you. And they are these two points: break the mold and then replace the mold with Jesus. First of all, break the mold. Look at verse 2 and we'll come back to verse 1. It says, do not be conformed to this world. One version, J.B. Phillips, paraphrases this verse this way. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. So what does that look like in our lives? See, church, the culture is molding us in ways we don't even notice. It's so easy to be conformed or to be squeezed into the world's mold and not even realize it. It's kind of like cooking a frog. Now, I know you cook a frog every day, right? But, you know, if you did cook a frog, this is what it would look like. You put the frog not in hot water. Why? Because it would jump. It wouldn't stay there. But if you put a frog into just like warm or even lukewarm water, it's kind of cozy. It's sitting in there in its froggish way, hanging out. And you turn up the temperature a little bit. Man, that feels pretty good. Hardly notices that the temperature's going up. You turn up the temperature just a little bit more. It's getting pretty hot in there. He doesn't notice because, man, this is feeling good. I'm just in this environment. And you turn up the temperature a little more, and you got a cooked frog. You see, we're like that. We get into the culture. Culture's not bad. We're in the world, but not of the world. But we so easily live in, way too often immersing ourselves in the waters of the world. And then we just sit in the waters, and we can hardly notice that the heat is turned up and it's leading really to our death. And here we see here that Paul's, he's begging this church to, can't you realize this? You see, the world is creeping in on you and you're thinking and we don't even notice. Books, movies, podcasts, social media. You know, the culture is not always bad, but man, there's some stuff and it's turning. We don't even notice how it's impacting us. And we hang out with people. They might be good people. Maybe they're even religious, but they're not pointing us to Jesus. And the temperature is heating up. And then we start to believe some things. You know, maybe you've been hurt or you've been going through some hard things in your life and you start believing things about God and the church and everything else. And it's really false teaching. And the waters are turned up and you're pretty much cooked. You don't even realize and now you've been conformed to the world. And you're a believer, and your life is stuck in the cultural morass of those ill waters that you have been soaking in. And so, today, as we think about it, Paul says, don't be conformed to this world. And verse 1 brings it home. Look at it. It says, he says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. You know, we need to be intentional and realize, Lord, help me not to be squeezed into the mold of the world. Verse 1 underlines, as we rely on God's mercies. our hearts will be changed. And we know this, believer. Listen, if you're a believer in Jesus, you had a heart of stone. You were recalcitrant in your sinfulness, in your lifestyle. You were in your own thing. And then God came in and He changed, He transformed you, gave you a brand new heart. And you were changed, and your life changed, and your actions changed. And maybe for a while you were on fire for God, and you were like, I'm in on Christianity and the church and everything, and I'm excited. But then, over the years, you started to steep yourself less in the gospel and more in the culture, whether it's a religious culture or an irreligious culture. And over time, you didn't realize, man, now my heart is growing callous. I'm becoming more hardened to the beauty and wonder and power of the gospel. I'm not being transformed. I'm actually a Christian who's now conformed to the world. But see, Paul writes this not because he wants you to be a good person. He wants your life to be transformed by the beauty and splendor of God, which brings goodness and hope and life and peace and all of those fruit of Galatians 5, 22 and 23. He wants to transform your life in these ways, church. And so today, we need to be continually rely on God's tender mercies to soften us. By His mercies, we are transformed. Again, it begins inside of us with our thinking and our heart's desires, and then impacts the outside of us in how we live. Paul uses the phrase, notice our bodies. And when you may ask, John, why does Paul say bodies here? Pretty curious. Why didn't he say hearts? Well, here's the logic of Paul's teaching. Throughout Romans, he's been showing us that the internal grace you've received, we've seen that in chapters 1 through 11, you've received in your heart should become more and more visible in the way you live in your bodies. And that's chapters 12 through 16. He's setting us up to see how the gospel will actually change and transform you. You see, question today, do others around you see you being transformed? Do those especially closest to you see it? You know, I think a great question for you to ask and me to ask of myself is something like this. In the last 5 years, where do you see my life changing to look more like Jesus? And what areas of the culture do you see me holding on to? Again, religious culture or irreligious? You know, as we're being transformed, Paul says, people are going to get it. They're going to see it. They're going to see some change. And he says, this is your spiritual act of worship. And we make worship as, what is worship, you know? And we make it this kind of other world thing, but it's not. It's really your relationship with God and your growth in the gospel is your spiritual worship. And you can define worship maybe this way. It is an overflow of the heart that has been captivated by the character of God, resulting in a life of obedience, praise, and service. So I want to invite you today to ask the Lord to help you be intentional in daily being captivated by the character of God. Will you do that? And as you do that, it says, Paul goes on to teach us we're to present our bodies as living sacrifices. You know this, before we can become captivated with God, we have to be, church, less captivated with ourselves. It needs to be more about Him and less about me. And when we make it more about Him, we get to get all the goodness of God in us and everything we've been really looking for and searching for. Have you ever asked God this question? Lord, make me a living sacrifice. Now, that's a good question to ask. But to become a living sacrifice is hard because we're pretty captivated by ourselves. We're pretty about our stuff. It's hard to die to self-will. And guess what? The problem is this, is that living sacrifices tend to crawl off the altar. It's not natural for us to die or want to die, but we need God's help to die to the self-will stuff so that we can get the God captivation in our hearts. And we do this by presenting, Paul says, he goes on, our bodies to God. Again, as our heart is transformed, our bodies will be changed, how we live. I love the quote of a British pastor, theologian, Martin Lloyd-Jones. He writes this, presenting the body is not a single act of consecration in a mystical sense. It is a logical daily response to the truth of justification by faith. The mind must first grasp the truth of the gospel, which dictates how the body, the physical instrument of our existence, is utilized in the world. You see, it's not like this mystical thing. It's the logical daily response you have to the truth of God's word that clearly defines who you are worshiping. Are you captivated by who God is? And that will create just great things in our lives. With faith that God has given to us, and some of us, our faith feels very frail today. We are to set our minds on the character of God in a daily, regular, sensible way. You see, if we're submersed only in the waters of the world or the culture, religious or irreligious, we're going to be conformed. But if we put ourselves into the waters of God and captivated by Him and His church family and by His Word that is central to us and by the Holy Spirit who lives in us and all the means of grace He has given to us, then we will be transformed by the power of God. But it's easy to drift, isn't it? Especially over time, and especially if you get busy, or even in the church, you get busy doing a lot of things. You might serve well, work well, all that stuff, but you can easily drift if you're not getting refilled by the very Word of God. The book of Hebrews, the author of it, writes that it's easy to drift when we don't make the gospel and the Lord central. He writes in Hebrews 2, verse 1, therefore we must pay attention much closer to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. And it's what we need to pay attention to is God and His good gospel, His word. We easily drift. We sang it, didn't we? Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. You see, it's not a sudden rebellion against God that you're dealing with. It tends to be like a slow, hard-to-notice leak. We leak grace, or we're like that frog in that water. The temperature just keeps getting turned up. More and more and more, and before we notice it, bam, our hearts are far from God. We've drifted from Him. And so, we, as his church, need to realize, look, we can wander from God even doing good things. If our heart is not intentional constantly to come to his word and say, transform us, Lord, by your power, by your word and work alone. You know, you're a great church. You're generous. You're serving. We're going to rejoice in some of your generosity later in the service, your time. A lot of you give. I love last week, Pastor Tim had y'all stand up. The many, many of you served in Family Bible Camp. That was really cool. But it's possible that some of you are giving and, again, are not rooting in the Word. And if you're not rooted in the Word, the world is going to root itself in you. You're being conformed. And we have to constantly say, Lord, please help me to realize this. This is so important. Paul pleads with us. And I today is, you know, one of his servants plead with you, urge you. You're either conformed, church, or transformed. Let's be transformed by the power of his glorious gospel. So that brings us to the second and shorter point, and it's this: replace the mold with Jesus. Verse 2 again, do not be conformed to this world, again, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Our minds are changed, again, by constant renewal. Transformed here is contrasted with conformed. Conformed means to be forced into a mold, usually over a long period of time. Transformed means you've become something brand new. And if you're a believer, your heart of stone became like a heart of flesh when you received him. This is not done by willpower or external conformity. Now, you guys did you learn about in middle school science how a caterpillar is transformed? He does a lot of work at it, doesn't he? He gets himself into that cocoon, puts himself in that cocoon, and just kind of hangs out there, you know, and trusting by spring, boom, metamorphosis. You become a beautiful butterfly. Well, think about if a butterfly tried to metamorphosize. That's the Greek word for transformation here. What if he tried to metamorphosize himself? So he screwed on some external wings and tried to flap on his own. You'd say, that's ridiculous. And it is. That's as ridiculous as what Christians are doing when we rely on our own work or effort. We can't do it. We have to rely on God. Yes, we have to be willing. We have to be willing to work, but we can only do it by his power as we trust him to do the work of transformation in us and then transformation through us. You know, when we as Christians received Christ for the first time, we got a new heart or a new nature. And that was great. And that's transformation. But the transformation particularly Paul is talking about here is for the believer who is constantly aligning his thoughts, desires, and actions with his new nature, with God and his will, with his word. That's where transformation happens. And that's what the kind of transformation Paul is talking about in this passage. Surrendering only to Christ and what he can do as he works in our whole person, mind, heart, body, actions, whole thing. So as our mind And thoughts change our will. Some have called it our liker. Our will change. We will desire more and more what God desires. And guess what? God desires. It is His will. Here Paul writes that by the testing you may discern what is the will of God. Verse 2 says, the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And we know what's beautiful is we have God's written will, His word. You want to know God's will? Here it is. Get to know God's word. Not only do we have God's written will, we have God Himself, the person of the Holy Spirit in us for every believer. Isn't that crazy? His word outside of us and His Holy Spirit inside of us, as we come daily and surrender and say, God, I'm coming to die to self and to be changed by Your power, that is transformation. That's where it happens. Yes, it's daily, it's regular. I know this isn't easy, but it's simple and true, and it's life-changing. So today, if you're not a believer, are you stuck in your life? The culture will not lead you to the life you really want. Your heart longs for something more. Your heart longs for something that only God can fill Himself. Will you submit and surrender to Christ today? If you're not a believer, you've shut down your options. You can only be conformed. You can't be transformed. I'm telling you, transformation isn't easy. It's only by God's power, but it is the most beautiful work you will ever experience in your life. I'd urge you to consider Christ, His claims, to believe Him today, to trust Him. And if you are a believer, are you being changed more by the culture or the gospel? I invite you to ask God to give you eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart that's obedient to His word. And are you trying to do this all by yourself to change? Remember, only God can transform you. Again, Paul's been saying that throughout Romans. Without God's mercy, you're stuck in your sin and its death-like effects. But as you rely on God's mercy and grace, you will be transformed. Your worship will become more God-centered, and you'll be less about you and more about Him. And then you will experience the goodness of God, the rest of God, the peace and joy and love and purpose that you have really longed for. Let's be about that, church, because guess what? Today and every day, you're either conforming or being transformed. Let's come today and say, God, transform me by the power of Your word and good news. Amen. As we prep our hearts now for communion, let's go humbly and boldly before our Lord. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your wonderful word and its life-giving effects. We pray, Lord, today that You would transform us. We don't come today to just check off a list or get a good report. We come to be a people who are being transformed by the very power of God. Do it, Lord. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us for this podcast. For more information, you can visit us online at thevinecc.com or visit us on Facebook or Instagram at thevinecc. Have a great week.